Welcome to Reality Check, conversations with experts about applications, solutions, and the things Wi-Fi can do beyond just connectivity. Your host is Matthew Edwards, a Wi-Fi product marketing manager with Arrowhive Networks.
Welcome to this three-part podcast series focusing on device-based learning and mobility in schools, including the opportunities, the challenges, and the success stories within education. I'm Matthew Edwards from Arrowhive, and I have the pleasure of being joined by Phil Maddox of FutureSource Consulting. They're a leading research company within the education market, so welcome, Phil.
Hi, Matthew.
Phil, and to our audience, in today's session, we're going to be introducing the role of device-based learning in education today and the overall impact on student engagement. And before we begin, Phil, just for our listeners, if you could just give a very quick snapshot of yourself and your experience, that would be absolutely great.
Yeah, no problem, Matthew. Well, my name is Philip Maddox. I'm an analyst at FutureSource Consulting, and I work within the education team. And as part of that, what we do is we essentially cover the uptake of personal computers. So that ranges from things such as notebooks, Chromebooks, netbooks, and tablets in the K-12 education sector. And we cover adoption of those devices globally up to around 46 countries. I've been with the company for just over 2 years. And prior to that, I worked as an analyst for a company called IHS, and I was there for 3 years.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for that, Phil. Okay, so let's just jump straight into it. I have a couple of questions to go through. So obviously focusing on the role of device-based learning in education, in what ways would you say mobility and the variety of devices that you see out there today have overall improved the learning experience within the classroom?
Okay. I think firstly, one of the things to point out is it's quite difficult to quantify the impact of technology on the learning experience, especially when you come to linking the uptake of technology with, for example, improved grades. From our experience of talking to districts and schools in the UK, we've seen schools, particularly bad performing schools, incorporate devices in the classroom and have turnarounds. In some, perhaps it's not worked as well. And a lot of that comes down to how the schools have planned their rollout from the offset. But I think in terms of the ways it has improved, where it has worked well, we've definitely seen better student engagement with the teachers and better collaboration with the teachers as well. I think for a lot of students that are using technology, it gives them a way to ask questions discreetly in some cases to the teacher, allow them to ask questions that perhaps they wouldn't do in the classroom, and just overall help them with their learning. I also think that it helps from the side of giving them earlier access to technology. I mean, if we look at the UK market, for example, we're very much a service-based economy, and having an IT-savvy workforce is definitely a benefit of, and definitely a reason why we're seeing, I think, more adoption of technology in the classroom.
Yeah, definitely. I tend to see babies born with iPads these days. So I guess, I mean, obviously, there's some great technology that you, and what we all see in schools and education in general today, and as you said, kids are starting out at a really young age, and it feels like this adoption of technology is just happening overnight at such a rapid pace, but with some of these technologies and the capabilities that you've been talking about just, overall, how quickly would you say that these changes have taken place, and what is really the main driver of these changes?
Yeah, I think if we firstly look at some of the drivers, and I guess looking at it from a very top level, some of the big drivers are a move towards 21st century learning styles and learning techniques. We're very much an information-based society now, so technology fits in very well with that. But there are also a lot of different changes that vary by country. So if we look at the US market, for example, the change that we've seen there over the last 3 to 4 years has been phenomenal. From when the iPad first came into the market around 2010, 2011, that market has completely changed, and IT adoption is at an all-time high. in the US market, that's been driven heavily by the move to Common Core and digital assessment. So districts now in the US are mandated to purchase devices for students to take digital assessment on. So that has really driven that market forward quite closely and quite far. When we look at the UK in comparison, we don't have quite the same drivers. We don't have a push towards digital assessment. And in comparison to the US, where there's typically very large district deals, which can cover hundreds of schools, in the UK it's very fragmented. We see a lot of school-by-school decision-making, a lot of school-by-school buying. So it's very difficult to see these widespread and large adoptions in the UK market. But I think going forward, we are definitely going to see more adoption in the UK, and I think coding as part of the curriculum is going to be a key driver for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think I've seen personally myself, obviously, a lot of the academies where schools have been coming together, you kind of see that central place where some of these technologies are adopted quite quickly. But then, yeah, certainly school to school, it is changing very rapidly. But I guess if we drill down into that a little bit further, I know obviously you said you were looking at this region by region and obviously comparing different countries. I guess if we simplify that slightly, if we look at the differences in adoption between primary and secondary school, are you seeing some major differences there? I would expect so.
Yeah, absolutely. So particularly in primary schools, and we've seen this in multiple countries, we see tablets as a very popular form factor in the primary school. It seems that the touch interface, the use of apps, it's much easier when you're using those devices with younger children. We've particularly seen it in the US. We're seeing a huge influx of Chromebooks going to the higher grades, and as a result, that has pushed iPads down to the lower grades where they find it much easier to work with those devices. In secondary education, it's much more about keyboard skills, it's much more about productivity, and using full applications like Microsoft Office, Google Docs, and being able to create much fully fledged pieces of work. So the fact you have the keyboard, the clamshell, the bigger screen, higher resolutions, it really does play a lot better in the secondary education market. And in the US, for example, the big driver behind those types of devices is it's been mandated that devices that are used for digital assessment in the US have to have a keyboard, which is why we're seeing such a huge influx of keyboard-based devices like the Chromebook within that market.
Perfect. Thank you, Phil. Yeah, it makes me smile when I think of the difference in technology between primary schools, secondary schools, and it actually gives me flashbacks of when I was in my last year of primary school, and I won't be as personal to ask your own age, but when I was in primary school, we had our first PC in the entire school, and it just sat in the corner, and each student would be given 5 minutes at a time to go onto this PC, use that keyboard, and use commands like RT90, and I remember how proud I was. And actually how smug I was to go home to my parents and to be able to demonstrate my computing skills that I could draw a square. And then now you see kids who are 5 years old with these iPads in the backpack instead of their books, and that most of them put my networking knowledge to shame. But it is absolutely fascinating to see, obviously, how technology is evolving throughout the different year groups, throughout different schools, throughout different geographies. Every year I go to an education show, and it's astonishing how much technology has evolved within the classroom from 1 year to the next. So, yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. So I guess with that, I mean, that's given us an absolutely fantastic insight into the role of device-based learning in education today. Phil, thank you so much for everything, and I look forward to investigating with yourself the challenges of device-based learning in part two. So, Phil, thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.
And thank you for everybody for listening. Look forward to seeing you on our next session.